We'll return to 1 Timothy, Lord willing, next week. I want us to look at the Psalms this morning. To answer the question, at least in part, why is Thanksgiving called a sacrifice? Why is Thanksgiving called a sacrifice? We're going to look at five answers to that question, five psalms that refer to our giving of thanks as a sacrifice. And so you can turn to some of them or jot them down. We'll begin in Psalm 50 and verse 14. Why is Thanksgiving called a sacrifice? In Psalm 50, verse 14, we read, "Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving." Perhaps by starting this conversation this morning from the Psalms, you can take it and continue to answer this question throughout the week and find perhaps even this Thanksgiving season with so many of its challenges to be enriched with the hope that comes from God's word. Why is our being thankful to God referred to as our sacrifice? Help us, Lord, in our obedience to this command, because Thanksgiving does not always come easy to us, and certainly sacrifice is not high on our list either. And so convict us this morning and challenge us as we yield to your word. Amen. Think with me a moment about Old Testament sacrifices. What do you know of those sacrifices? How many are there? How were they carried out? How often? What made up the content of them? We're familiar with a lot of the language of Old Testament sacrifice, and probably for most of you, you've labored through a Bible reading plan that took you through Leviticus or Deuteronomy and all the liturgical details of those sacrifices. It can be a bit tedious, especially when we're not under that codification of the law to carry out all those sacrifices still. So it will always be a bit foreign to us. It's not how we grew up. It's not the system of religion that was inherited from generation to generation. And this was the way God laid out for his people to understand his great plan to ultimately send the Messiah. So we have to work a little harder to take a simple expression in the Psalms to offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving and really be able to understand, why is it called a sacrifice? Why doesn't it just tell us to be thankful, to give your thanksgiving to God? So let's think of these sacrifices. There were burnt offerings, there were grain offerings, there were drink offerings, there were sin offerings, peace offerings, trespass offerings, all spelled out for all the various reasons and all different seasons of the year. Some sacrifices involved animals and the shedding of blood. Other sacrifices involved produce and grain and the fruit of a harvest. Some offerings were consumed in a fire completely. Some were consumed by the priest completely. It was their sustenance. Others were consumed in part by the priest, but the one who brought the sacrifice was also invited to sit down and partake of the toasted meat. Some offerings were poured out. Some were lifted up. Some were waved before the Lord in expressions of gratitude and praise. Some offerings expressed commitment and faithfulness to God on our part, our resolve. Others signified our repentance. Some expressed purely thanksgiving. Some were an expression of dependence and faith. Others celebrated our fellowship that we had with God. Some offerings were commanded. They had to be done. Others were free will offerings, where you were invited as prompted or as your heart swelled with joy to make those offerings at any time. But all these sacrifices were designed to point us to a greater sacrifice to come. When you read Hebrews, you can almost sense what you should have sensed in reading through the strict details of the Old Testament sacrificial system. You sense an incompleteness to these sacrifices. Because once you made that sacrifice, you weren't done. You were going to have to do it again. You were going to sin again and need to restore that fellowship again. You were going to trespass again, either intentionally or unintentionally. And you'd have to bring yet another sacrifice. To think of the preparation and time that it took to ready yourself to sacrifice, especially to think of herds and planting crops, both of those things taking a long time. So you're raising your flocks of sheep or goats or cattle, and you're waiting for them to produce offspring, and then you're waiting for those offspring to grow to a certain age, and yet you're also careful that certain of those offspring don't scrape themselves wandering through the rocks in the desert because your sacrifice would have to be without blemish. And so even as we approach the Christmas season and think of the Lamb of God wrapped in swaddling clothes, should it not surprise us then that history tells us that some of the prized lambs would have their legs wrapped in swaddling cloth so as to protect them from the scratches and the blemishes? Much preparation went into the sacrifices. Imagine a grain offering or a first fruits offering, which meant you had to till your land, get it ready. You had to plant it. You had to weed it and irrigate it. You had to see those crops raised. You had to harvest it, only then to give away the first harvest to the Lord or to the priests. That's a lot of preparation. So shame on us for putting so little preparation into our sacrifices of thanksgiving. Shame on us for not even giving thanks for so much of what God has done for us. When we read the Old Testament, we are adequately prepared to understand the Psalms that over and over again tell us to offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Look back and see what God has done, and then with great intention and design and purpose, give thanks. This is the whole reason our nation has a holiday of thanksgiving. Because when you go all the way back to the 1600s and those pilgrim settlers, they realized after that first year, despite much hardship and despite all the empty seats around the table after that first year, God had been good to them. And they had much to be thankful for, so they would offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Hebrews 13:15 takes our knowledge of all those literal sacrifices in the Old Testament and joins them to a New Testament command to offer a sacrifice of praise. Listen to Hebrews 13:15. Through him, speaking of Christ, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is, the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. Clearly, the author of Hebrews is not telling the New Testament believers, hey, keep finding those animals to sacrifice. Keep giving those first fruits. Keep pouring out the drink offering. Keep burning the grain offering. No, he's not saying those kind of sacrifices. But he's taking the language that they know and he's converting it for us to the system that we're under, a new covenant in the blood of Christ. And he's saying, offer a sacrifice of praise. That is the fruit of your lips. Not the fruit or the offspring of your cow, not the fruit of that harvest, not the fruit of those grapes, but the fruit of your lips. It's coming from your heart. You see, the Old Testament sacrifices weren't guaranteeing that God was pleased with those who sacrificed. If you were keeping up with our Thinking Through the Word series and you read Isaiah chapter 1, you realized how disgusted God was with the sacrifices that were offered by the Israelites because their hearts weren't for loving and obeying God. They were going through these rituals and doing everything prescribed, and God lists one thing after another that is prescribed in the Old Testament that he was not pleased with because their heart was not a heart of worship. So it is significant when Hebrews tells us to offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving and then renames it for us as the fruit, the produce, the harvest of our worship from our hearts, and let our lips now be offering this praise to God. So as we consider the Psalms this morning and their command to offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving, we are not saying this is how to go about putting offerings in the offering plate. We're certainly not saying let's sacrifice animals and grain and wine and everything else that was part of the old system. No, we have fully immersed ourselves in the new covenant through Christ, and we recognize that ours should be a bountiful, generous giving back to God in the fruit of our lips. We obey with our minds being set on being thankful and with our words that are expressing God's praise to him and to others. I don't know that it's sufficient for you in this coming week to just be thankful in your heart. It seems the overwhelming admonition of Scripture is that our praise is outward. It is in the congregation. It is to God's people. It is magnifying God in front of others so that they will know, who is this great God that you serve? So why is being thankful called a sacrifice? We would think it would be just this automatic response, like this overflow. And yet, the language is offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Let me offer you five reasons, again, to begin the conversation. The more you dwell on the Old Testament sacrifices, perhaps this week, the more you'll be enriched by these thoughts of what I should be doing in my thanksgiving to God. Five reasons why thanksgiving is called a sacrifice. Number one, by sacrifice, you acknowledge God's worth. By sacrifice, you acknowledge God's worth. You see, if I'm being asked to give up the first offspring of prize cattle or sheep, especially in the Old Testament era, you're asking people to give up a lot. There is an enormous amount of value in the first fruits of the harvest. And yet God was asking for those. And it was this proving ground to see if we think God is worth obeying. How much do we value God? We began in Psalm 50:14, offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving. For this first reason of understanding God's worth, we look a little farther into Psalm 50 and verse 23, where we read, "The one who offers thanksgiving as his sacrifice glorifies God." Now, we hear much about glorifying God. That's almost just kind of buzzword for living the Christian life. But if we really stop to think of that idea, it's a little bit of a mind game. How can I, in my kind of finite, small existence, how can I make God look any better than he really is? How do I magnify him? How do I glorify him? And the idea here is that I'm steering others to this value. Much like if you found a favorite restaurant and somebody after church is saying, "I'm not sure where we're going to eat." You say, "Man, you've got to try this place." You are glorifying that restaurant. You're magnifying it. The Psalms are saying the one who offers his Thanksgiving is glorifying God. So imagine at least some of the sacrifices of the Old Testament being consumed on a fiery furnace, a massive altar. It's not much different than when you fire up your grill or your neighbor does and you throw a piece of meat on that and the whole neighborhood is smelling that aroma. The idea here is when you offer your thanksgiving, you are glorifying God. You're turning heads. People are thinking, who are they talking about? Why are they so joyful? Don't they know this COVID thing's been going on for months now? But the one who offers thanksgiving as his sacrifice is making God look good, making him look powerful, making him look faithful, making him look dependable, making him look worthy. So how will you glorify God with your sacrifice of thanksgiving? For many of you, it can be a sacrifice and the aroma is just smelled by your children. You've got little ones and they're needy and they're grabby and they're demanding, and you can model for them what it is to be thankful to God, and you can begin to teach them all of what God is by the way that you thank him for it. The text says, the one who offers thanksgiving as his sacrifice. And it makes us wonder, I suppose there are those who don't make their sacrifice of thanksgiving. Will you be numbered as one of those who will? What will your sacrifice be? And again, if you can attend on Tuesday night, bring a small sacrifice and we'll throw them on the altar and we'll let the aroma just fill the room. And your blessing may not be someone else's, but that's okay. You might come lamenting while someone else comes rejoicing. You may have floundered financially and your job suffered and someone else may have prospered this year. But it won't be about who had it best. It will be about let's all glorify God who met us in all of our need. And we'll just let the aroma fill the room and we'll bask in God's goodness and then we'll go on with our Thanksgiving week. By sacrifice, you acknowledge God's worth. Why is Thanksgiving called sacrifice? Number two, by sacrifice, you acknowledge God's authority. You acknowledge God's authority. You show that you are in a place of submission to the one who at times demands sacrifice. Psalm 50, again, in verse 14, that we've heard, offer to God. When we couple that with Psalm 100 that we heard earlier, know that the Lord, he is God, and it's he that made us. We are his. We didn't make us. We haven't provided for ourselves. We are not God. We are the created ones. And the Psalms are saying, you're bringing your sacrifice of thanksgiving, but you're not bringing it to just a parent authority. You're not bringing it to someone else and thanking them for their kindness. You are bringing it to God, who owes you nothing. And beyond that, as the story of the Bible unfolds, gave you much in his rich fellowship with you, you being in Adam, the first man. And yet you, in Adam, rejected his goodness and actually accused him of being insufficient in his kindness to you. You haven't given me enough. I'll have to go after it on my own. I'll have to take care of myself. And you, in Adam, rebelled against the goodness of God. So as you bring your sacrifice of thanksgiving, you realize that you were once shaking your fist at a lousy God who did not give you enough. And now, because of amazing grace that saved a wretch like you and me, here we are, eager to offer our thanks to God for everything he's done for us. We find ourselves in a place of submission. He is God. Know that the Lord is asking his subjects, his creatures, to worship him, to give him thanks. By his exalted nature, he's worthy of our submissive sacrifice. By his creative power, having made all things, he's worthy of our submissive sacrifice. And by his rich mercy by which he saved us, he is worthy of our submissive sacrifice. I think that's why Psalm 50, verse 14, offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving, ends this way, and perform your vows to the Lord Most High. You know, you leave your friend's house and you had a great dinner, you might call over your shoulder, hey, thanks again for a great time. That's not the casual approach we take to thanksgiving. When the Bible says, you had better perform your vows before the Lord Most High. It is a serious business to offer thanksgiving to God, the God who created all things. What a privilege. What a responsibility. Is it any wonder that Romans 12 would borrow this language of sacrifice to describe our submission to God when it says, present your bodies a living sacrifice to God? So instead of offering a sacrifice, you become the sacrifice. So my sacrifice of thanksgiving in response to the mercy of God is my submission, is my yieldedness. It reminds us that by sacrifice, you acknowledge God's authority. Number three, by sacrifice, you acknowledge God's goodness. This is perhaps most inherent in the language, a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving for all his goodness. We sang that simple chorus, he is good. Right from the text, he is good. His love endures forever. I think I first heard that on a children's CD. It's a simple text. It's a simple text from God's songbook that reminds us God is good. Did you ever pray the little prayer as a child? God is great. God is good. Let us thank him. It's the simplest of childlike logic. If this is true, then let this be true. If God is great and good, let us be thanking him. You acknowledge God's goodness. Note Psalm 54 and verse 6. With a free will offering, I will sacrifice to you. I will give thanks to your name, O Lord, for it is good. The free will offering was without compulsion. You just did it whenever you felt like it. And so your free will offering may just be in your car running errands and you're singing a song or you're listening to a sermon on the radio or you just hear what's on the news and you're reminded God is in control and you just give him thanks. Just spontaneous free will offerings. Eagerly communicating your gratitude to God for his goodness. I know sometimes it seems like we have to weed through the sorrow and the disappointment and by faith walk that path to get to goodness, but it's worth the effort. See the goodness of God. And with a free will offering, sacrifice to him because he is good. Number four, by sacrifice, you acknowledge God's faithfulness. You declare your trust in him. Imagine bringing a huge percentage of your harvest to the priest. It's going to feed all the tribe of Levi. You're sacrificing that tenth. And then throughout the year, other percentages are asked of you. Some have speculated in the low 20 percentile being the sum total of offerings in the Old Testament. Giving away that choice lamb, that choice bull that could have been used to propagate greater flocks. There's a sacrifice at stake here truly because you're giving up something very valuable. And yes, it's an expression of worship, but you're losing out on something. And it was this moment for the one sacrificing to realize, I have to trust that the God that I'm saying I esteem so highly is able and willing to take care of me even if I give up my first fruits. Even if I pay a great price to ceremonially redeem my firstborn child that's born at great cost. When I gather that harvest and that first fruits look so ripe and good and I have to give it away. What God wanted his people learning was, you're not losing anything by giving it to God. He wanted them to know, you can trust me. If I asked you to give away everything, you would be completely fine. He wanted them to know he was ultimately what they needed. He was enough for them. By sacrifice, you acknowledge God's faithfulness, that he is trustworthy. Imagine months of your work to prepare your land, plant the crop, harvest it, the whole family perhaps involved in that process, and then it's burned up on an altar in a matter of minutes. Or the priest kindly takes it from you by the bushel load and puts it in the storehouses of the temple to feed the rest of the priests. And in a matter of moments, months of work is gone. Can you trust God to provide, to make up for what you gave away in worshipful obedience? Even as Jesus walked on earth and did his teaching, he taught people who were living most likely hand to mouth. In teaching them to pray, he said, ask this. Give us this day our daily bread. I'd almost be curious to know if we could have a testimony Tuesday night of anyone, and maybe there is someone, who could honestly say they never had a single thing left in the house to eat. I've heard of these meal plans that tell you to stop shopping, you know, for like 2 weeks, and literally you just have to eat everything left in your house, even if you're down to just, you know, finishing up the flour and mixing it with water and having whatever that makes, paste or pancakes or something. Most of us live in such abundance that give us this day our daily bread, we've got to do a lot of work preaching that to get it to mean anything to us. But the reality is, our sacrifice of thanksgiving means that we're intentionally thinking, I could lose a whole lot. I could lose everything that I cherish. And I should be able to say, what have I on earth beside you, Lord? You are my strength. You are my portion. You're what I need. And even if God asks you to waste away in a famine, he is still all that you need, and he's giving you everything that you need for life and godliness. It just doesn't register to us in our bounty. But many Christians in the world suffer greatly in great poverty and great loss. And the admonition to them is, will you trust God to be everything that you need? What if God says you don't need food? And you die in a famine, can you trust him? That would be a sacrifice of thanksgiving to say, I will trust you no matter what. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. But I'm going to proclaim with my sacrifice, blessed be the name of the Lord. This is why sacrifice can be thanksgiving. And this is why thanksgiving can be sacrifice. When we start realizing that it's not just, look at all the good I have, I think I'll be thankful this year. No, it's look at the God I have. I can be thankful any year. Finally, by sacrifice, you acknowledge, yes, God's worth, his authority, his goodness, his faithfulness, and now his sufficiency. You acknowledge God's sufficiency when you offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Paul in Philippians said, I've learned something. I've learned how to abound. Many of us have learned the sense, the feeling, the nostalgia, even the blessing of having a full dining room surrounded by family or friends and a big meal spread out on the table. And that's what our minds know of thanksgiving. And as God provides and allows for that, be thankful for it. You don't have to apologize for the bounty that God has brought. But what about when we don't have all that and it doesn't work out and plans change and there are empty seats and there isn't much to put on the table? Can we offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving that shows that our satisfaction is not in the warm Rockwellian feelings of nostalgia, but rather our sufficiency is derived from the faithfulness of God? When all else fails, when all is lost, when earthly joys depart, will the joy of the Lord be our strength? Psalm 107, verse 22. And let them offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of his deeds in songs of joy. Songs of joy are connected to the wonderful works that God does. And the wonderful works that God does are why we offer sacrifices of thanksgiving. So somehow our idea of sacrifice and thanksgiving runs this course through God and to joy. All the Old Testament sacrifices, remember, point us to Christ. So even when the Psalms are telling us our sacrifice of thanksgiving for the deeds of our God should be offered in songs of joy, we have to insert Christ into that. So somehow our sacrifice of thanksgiving for the deeds of God have to do with Christ. Our sacrifice of thanksgiving is because of Christ, what God has done in Christ, by which we derive our joy. Ultimately, thanksgiving then begins at salvation. Is there really any thanksgiving on the part of an unbeliever? It's quite a question to wrestle with. Oh, I understand they could say thank you and probably even feel that sense of gratitude or appreciation. So when you stop and help them with their flat tire, they understand something of your sacrifice for them. But in the fullest sense, in my mind, I don't know that an unbeliever can be truly thankful. Because thanksgiving is rooted in a satisfaction that is only found in Jesus Christ. To be thankful as an unbeliever for some generous financial gift would only be to find in a financial generous gift some kind of security or safety or love or meaning. But we would say, no, that wouldn't be the fullest expression of satisfaction, of sufficiency, of hope. That would be found in Christ. So ultimately, thanksgiving begins at salvation. It continues to grow in us as we come to treasure Christ in this life. And then ultimately it culminates with all the redeemed from all the nations around the throne giving praise to the Lamb. So the story of Thanksgiving seems to be an exclusive story of those who have found Christ to be enough for their salvation and their right standing with God by his righteousness and for all that they need in this life and for the hope of the next. Songs of joy about the work of Christ for which we are eternally grateful. It's all the way back thousands of years ago in the Psalms, and it's what we're looking ahead to in Revelation. So your Thanksgiving season may come with sorrow. I heard just this morning of heavy burdens in extended family across the country. But that's okay, because our songs of joy, our sacrifices of thanksgiving are rooted in the deeds of God that he has accomplished through Christ for us, for which we are now and eternally grateful. So here again, these five psalms, and ready yourself and your sacrifice of thanksgiving. Perhaps it could be offered at Tuesday night. Perhaps it'll be offered today around the table as you go home. Perhaps in the lobby as you give thanks for something God has done for you to encourage someone else as they go. Perhaps it'll be Thursday or Friday at your family gathering. But ready yourself for a sacrifice of thanksgiving. The one who offers thanksgiving as his sacrifice glorifies me. Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and perform your vows to the Most High. With a free will offering, I will sacrifice to you. I will give thanks to your name, O Lord, for it is good. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call on the name of the Lord. And let them offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of his deeds in songs of joy. This is the way. Walk in it. Heavenly Father, our good and faithful God, would you compel us to thanksgiving by your worth, by your authority, by your goodness, by your faithfulness, and by your sufficiency. For by faith, we have tasted all of these blessings through Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.